girl, running toward the library. He rarely saw her around, but he'd been thinking about her today because it was Mickey's birthday, which meant it was also her birthday. The girl who had drawn 17 candles. He could never forget what had happened on this exact day a year ago, after he went feral, ruined Mickey's birthday, and forced everyone to cover up his mess before the production crew discovered it. He couldn't forget her, either. The little Sigma who took it all away without a second thought. He should have forgotten her, especially after he had forced Killian to stalk her for a good week to make sure she didn't tell anyone what she had seen, just so that he could put her from his mind. "Head in the game, Theo." This had come from Nico, who slung a muscled arm around Theodore's shoulders, shaking him. "It isn't every day Moses agrees to show his face outside of Dorm A. Let's make the most of it." "Right." Theodore tried to focus, but his eyes kept drifting back to the library. Was that blood on her face? "Don't do it, Theo. Don't. Actually, just give me a sec, okay? I'll meet you guys there."
"I'll come."
Moses immediately moved to follow him, but Theodore pushed him back playfully. The other boy had features similar to him, but not similar enough to make it clear that they were the twins they publicly claimed themselves to be. More like brothers, which was closer to the truth. "I'll be quick," Theodore promised, trying to ignore the frown that furrowed between Moses's brows. Nico was right. This was a special occasion, and Moses needed all the support they could manage. He hadn't learned to control his ability anywhere near as well as Theodore had. It caused anxiety to twist in his gut as Theodore jogged toward the library. He should have stayed back. He should be there to make sure everything went smoothly. He checked the first floor, but when he didn't find her, he skipped the others and went all the way to the top. He hadn't been there in a year, but he still remembered where her little hidey hole was, and he approached it now, finding her slumped over the desk, her face resting on her arm. She wasn't crying, not like he had been the year before, and he wasn't a Sigma, but the despair was easy to read in the slump of her shoulders. "We should stop meeting like this," he suggested gently. Her head jerked up, fists raising like she might clock him, her pale, elegant fingers covered in dirt. She had light gold eyes, glinting with darker specks in the shitty library lighting, and they were wide with a manic spark of alarm. They were so big they swallowed her whole face and made her seem tiny. "You're bleeding." He knelt beside her chair, reaching toward her hairline, but she flinched back, cowering in the corner of her cubicle, as far away from him as she could get. Her fists were still up, but they trembled before crossing her chest, latching onto her shoulders in a tight hug. He only waited, hoping that she would remember him, and eventually she seemed to, her hands falling. Her eyes focused on his, squinting before dropping over his features. "Theodore Kane," she muttered, relaxing in her chair a little.
"I never told you my name,"
he said lightly, trying to reach for her head again. This time she allowed him, though she still went very stiff, her eyes tight with wariness. "Everyone knows the famous Kane twins." She tried to lift her gaze to see what he was inspecting.
"Trying to find where the blood is coming from," he muttered.
She turned, pointing to the back of her head.
"Ah."
He located the gash, checking it carefully.
"It doesn't look too bad. Wait here, I'll grab something from the bathroom."
Isabel sank back in her chair, watching him walk off with no small amount of caution. He had grown, his shoulders filling out, but he still had those wide, innocent eyes, she remembered. The dark irises flooded with all sorts of heavy emotions. When he returned, he had a pile of damp paper towels,
and he set them on the desk as he knelt in front of her again.
"May I?"
She just blinked at him stupidly.
"Why?"
"You know why." His voice dropped, his eyes glinting with the briefest flash of darkness, almost like he was trying to remind her. For a horrible moment, Isabel actually expected the dark color to expand again, to swallow his eyes entirely and spill out along his veins. She had almost convinced herself that she had imagined it the first time, no matter how many times the image visited her in her dreams. When it seemed she wasn't going to push the matter, he picked up one of the paper towels and started to gently clean away the blood on her face. He looked so focused, his eyes narrowing, his tongue appearing between his teeth. He sniffed lightly, and she knew he was trying to scent her. Alphas all had heightened senses and could read scent the same way some people could read words. But scenting a stranger generally wasn't done. It was almost rude.
"You have ferality,"
she whispered, just to test him. His hand froze, his attention slamming back to her eyes.
"That's... how do you even..."
He paused, shaking his head.
"Your father is an alpha. But you shouldn't know that word."
"That was made clear to me." He stalled at the tone in her voice, before sucking in a short breath, some of his heavy alpha influence nudging against her skin.
"You can't repeat that word, Sigma."
"Isabel."
"Isabel, sorry."
"You need to keep that word to yourself, just like you kept that night to yourself. Do you understand?" "How do you know I kept that night to myself?" she shot back, showing a remarkable lack of fear, considering he was an alpha, she was alone, and there were no cameras on that level of the library. He pulled back, his hand dropping, but when he raised his eyes to hers, they weren't threatening. The gray storm was carefully restrained, his expression guarded.
"Who did this?"
He waved the bloodied paper towel, a subtle warning in his tone. It didn't really sound like it was for her. "I don't want to tell you," she said quietly.
"That makes two of us."
He smiled, looking satisfied, switching the used paper towel for a fresh one.
"Let's keep our secrets, then."
He had big hands, but they were surprisingly gentle as he finished cleaning the blood from her face. He shifted her hair, tucking it behind her ears, and then he surprised her by taking her hand and cleaning the blood off her arm, where she had been leaning her head when he came in. She knew that alphas were supposed to be overpowering, their heady magic and influence spilling out of their pores. But it was something different to experience it in person. His touch almost made her dizzy, every brush of his skin making the hair on her arm prickle in response. He set her hand back on her lap and then folded some of the paper towels, gently pressing them to the back of her head as he sat back on his heels, examining her face. She knew he had grown since last year, but the way he was curved around her really made the difference seem extreme. That was the way with alphas. They were always the biggest, the strongest, growing rapidly in their early adult years. Around the same time, the sigmas stopped growing at all.
"Cherries,"
he suddenly blurted, his lips lifting into a small grin.
"That's what you smell like."
Isabel chuckled despite herself, his little smile forcing it out of her.
"Is that a good thing?"
He stared at her.
"I like cherries." "What do you smell like?"
She tried to surreptitiously discern his scent. She didn't have an alpha nose, but something between them had a warm fragrance, rich and musky. It wafted over her sweetly.
"People say I smell like amber,"
he answered, watching her with a hint of amusement, as though he knew she was trying to scent him, despite being a sigma. "Does your twin smell the same?" His expression shuddered,
a metal door slamming over the brief glimpse of warmth that had sparked from their conversation. He pulled back instead of answering her, lifting her hand to press it against the paper towels at the back of her head.
"I should go,"
he said, his attention drifting to the windows. He stuffed his hands into his pockets as he stood, but paused again, those dark eyes pulling back to her.
"Happy birthday, Isabel."
"Thanks." She wasn't proud of it, but she followed almost immediately after he left, keeping his shadow in sight until he veered off toward the party. She was acting like he might actually come to her rescue if she was attacked again, even though it was unlikely. She checked the time on her phone as she slipped back into her dorm, noting that it was an hour after midnight. It was the first time since her mother snuck a birthday cake into her room 3 years ago that another person had wished her happy birthday. And as much as she tried to disregard it, it meant something to her. She checked out her head in the bathroom after her shower to make sure the wound wasn't still bleeding before she settled in her room, staring at the bad patch job she had done on the broken window. With itching fingers, she reached for one of her notebooks, scribbling out a note before tearing it out and scrunching it up, a sound of frustration in her voice. There was no point. With a short growl, she flopped onto her makeshift bed and turned to face the wall, tugging a blanket up around her hips and succumbing to the throbbing headache that tugged her under. She didn't even notice the light from the hallway briefly filling her room, or the door that clicked closed again. Killian Gray raised his head from his conversation with Abeta when Theodore rejoined them, but he didn't miss the waif of a girl who darted out from behind Theodore, or the strange scent clinging to his friend. He couldn't put his finger on it right away, but he had enough protective sense to break away from the group and follow it. Follow her. The Sigma from last year. There was a tinge of copper trailing behind her. She was injured. Had Theo? No. He had been calm and relaxed when he'd reappeared. Surprisingly so. Someone else had hurt the girl. Killian trailed her to Dorm O, activating his ability after the inconvenience of the first few brave students who were drunk enough to try and approach him. He was completely invisible as he caught the door that tried to swing closed behind her, and remained so as he waited outside the bathroom for her to finish whatever she was doing. She reemerged without the copper tang, and he lazily followed her to her room, pressing his ear to the door until he felt certain she had fallen asleep, and then he slipped inside. Cherries. It hit him all at once, and he breathed in deeply. He had almost forgotten. After following her for a week the year before to make sure she didn't blab about seeing Theodore going feral, he had gotten acquainted with her rich, tart, and almost chocolatey scent. But he didn't bother with her after that, and he was glad for it. Her existence wasn't a happy one. It was ironic, because he had come from a settlement, and she had come from the life of an icon's only child. And here they were, stripped down to their rank. He had been elevated to luxury, and she had been pushed into misery. He glanced around at the room he hadn't found reason to enter last year, only to find that it wasn't quite a room, more like a storage closet, though she had tried to make it homier. He frowned, taking in the plastic taped over the broken window panes and the old record albums stuck to the walls. They were faded, busted up and torn, like the music department had tried to throw them out. But there was something beautiful about the way she had arranged them. There was a strange mismatched curtain pulled to the side of the window, secured at the top by tacks. He figured it was probably different squares of discarded material from another of the school's departments. The stitching was appalling, and that made his lips quirk slightly. There was only one bookshelf in the room to house all of her belongings, though she had collected a few boxes along the wall for her school things. Very neat little rows of clothes decorated the shelf, folded up as small as she could make them to utilize the limited space. She didn't even have a bed. She was curled up on a mat of blankets, one of them tugged up toward her hip, her phone face down on the floor beside her. He knelt down, pulling the blanket up another inch until the bare skin of her hip was covered, and then he leaned over further, gently brushing the long strands of hair out of her face. He remembered thinking the year before that she had nice hair. Some strands were lighter blonde, some darker, until he could barely even tell what color it was. He could see gold tones mixing with strawberry, the whole mess damp and starting to wave. He found the wound at the back of her head and winced, his brows pinching in. How did that happen? She had a cute face, cheeks that puffed out a little, and long black lashes fanning against skin so pale it should have highlighted every single little imperfection. Her freckles were stark, some darker than others, isolated unlike the spatter across her nose. There was one below her brow, another above it, two below her eye, and another one outside her lip. He dragged his attention from her pillowy, strawberry-red lips, because that was totally fucking inappropriate, considering she didn't even know he was there, and pulled away from her curled form. She looked like strawberries and cream, but smelled like cherries and chocolate. It was... wow. He didn't want to think it, but there it was. She was a little Sigma dessert. Still, he didn't quite understand. Why had Theodore snuck off to see her? Killian was missing something. He made to leave, but the sound of paper crunching beneath his boot had him pausing. He bent to retrieve the note, moving to the window to read it. "Thank you for remembering my birthday. Do you want to be friends?" At the bottom of the note was a phone number, but it was crossed out. She had obviously decided not to deliver the note. Killian pulled out his phone and took a picture before laying the paper back where he had found it and slipping out of the room. It took all weekend for Isabel to gather up the courage to eat in the dining hall on Monday morning, and it was mostly because she had run out of protein bars. Someone had left a packaged cupcake outside her door the morning after the party, but there was no note with it, and none of the Omegas on her floor remembered seeing anyone leave it there. It had been a cloud-like vanilla cake with white vanilla bean frosting and a plump, shining strawberry on top, packed into a little white box. She could only assume it was for her birthday, but couldn't think of a single person who would go to that effort for her. There was a faint, trailing scent that seemed infused in the wrapping, making it even more heady and delicious than the cupcake itself. And it wasn't until she was licking crumbs from the paper that she realized what she was doing and tossed it out. She was probably just dying to eat something other than granola. Bolstered by the decision to face the rest of the world again, she tied up her long blonde hair, tugged on her lucky ripped jeans, and finished the outfit with her favorite t-shirt. She tried to gather as much confidence from her clothing as she could before she shuffled to the hall, grabbing a tray and making a beeline for the breakfast bar. The food tower in the center of the room had a different theme every day, but she barely lifted her eyes enough to gather what the theme was as she blindly shoved a few pieces of fruit and an apricot pastry onto her plate and hightailed it to one of the more private tables. The hall was decorated like they were catering a high-profile wedding every single day, with crystal vases full of fragrant flowers and delicate, ivy-tossed chandeliers. All around the outside of the room were semi-private booths, made cozy with oak paneling and rice paper screens that could unfold to enclose the space. Not that anyone ever did that. She had arrived early enough to claim one of those booths, and it hid her while she hurried through her breakfast, proving a welcome sanctuary when she was forced to duck back into the hall for coffee. She paused when she slid back in, glancing at her phone as it vibrated on the table. Frowning in confusion, she checked the message that popped up on her screen. Unknown. I want to be friends.
Her frown deepening, she hesitantly texted back.
Isabel. Who is this?
The reply was instant.
Unknown.
Theo.
Theo? Theodore? Theodore Kane? She scoffed, but then paused. How could this be a prank? Nobody knew about the two times Theodore had spoken to her. She shuffled to the edge of the bench, sticking her head out of the booth like she might find a group of snickering students with their heads bent together over a phone. Instead, she found herself peering into a booth directly across the room from her, where Theodore Kane sat, staring back at her, phone in hand. She jerked back, her heart racing, her fumbling fingers dropping the phone several times before she managed a reply.
Isabel, how did you get my number?
Theodore, what's one more secret between us?
Isabel, friends don't keep secrets from each other.
Theodore, don't they? She lowered the phone, something in her chest pinching. She didn't have any friends. She didn't know. Was he trying to point that out? Her mother was her best friend, and no woman in the world seemed to hold as many secrets inside her, barricaded behind a shaky smile and watery eyes. Isabel slipped from the booth, intending to get to her first class early, but found three betas blocking her way. Bellamy, a girl whose name she knew to be Kiki Rain from her recent popularity on the Ironside website, and him, the boy from the party. His eyes were still red and a little puffy, a couple of scratches marring the sensitive skin around them.
"Where are you going in such a hurry?"
Bellamy asked cutely, scrunching his nose up.
"You asked Crow to take you behind Dorm D and then had some sort of panic attack on him. He was really hurt, you know."
"You shouldn't play games like that for attention,"
Rain added, shaking a slender finger in Isabel's face.
"You should show some respect to your betas."
"You can make it up to me right now,"
Crow suggested, his smile crooked. Isabel hadn't noticed on Friday night, but he was big. Big enough that a fresh wave of fear rolled over her. He had stringy black hair and large, focused eyes. He wasn't even blinking.
"Let me walk you to class."
"Move it,"
a rough voice barked, forcing the betas to skitter away. Alpha voice. Everyone within hearing range perked up, craning their necks to see what had upset one of their precious alphas enough that he had used his inherent ability to command people with his voice alone. Cold, light gray eyes locked with Isabel's, and she quickly categorized his slender, aristocratic features and the silvery blonde hair that drifted across his forehead before she ditched her tray and hurried out of the hall, running away from Elijah Reed, the same way she had the first time he placed himself that close to her. She didn't bother wondering why he had moved all the way around to her side of the hall just to ditch his tray and leave, but that's what it had looked like. It was the second time Reed had interfered in her life, after that day in Introduction to Musical Theory during her first year, where he sat beside her on the piano. The Ironside website said he was a genius, and she had been right back then. He played the piano beautifully. The few recordings of him that had popped up online hadn't even been him showing off, though. More like taken by sneaky students through the cracked doors to private practice rooms. And she found that confusing. With his talent, he could be an icon. Wasn't that what everyone wanted? He seemed to avoid the cameras and the other students at all costs, to the extent that he even skipped some of his classes, preferring not to be seen at all. Then again, he was supposed to be a genius, so maybe it was a strategy to generate mystery and make everyone even more interested in him. Maybe it was even working. Her phone buzzed again as she made it to her first class for the day, and she pulled it out to check the message.
Theodore.
Reed hates bullies.
Theodore. There, I've told you a secret. Now you tell me one. She found herself smiling as she drifted to her seat. Isabel. That was Reed's secret, not yours. Theodore.
Fine. I can't swim.
Isabel. Most gifted can't swim. They don't have pools at the settlements.
Theodore. Can you swim?
Isabel. Yes. Do you want me to teach you?
Theodore. I don't need you to do anything for me, Sigma.
She frowned, unable to form a reply as Professor Vega walked into the room, calling for the students to take their seats and start working in their assigned groups. Isabel should have dropped the class, since none of the other students wanted to sit with her for the group activities. But unlike most of the classes, where they could actually learn some useful skills if they wanted to, fortune-telling and the mystic arts wasn't likely to teach her, or anyone, anything useful anytime soon, so it wasn't like she was really missing out. She didn't know why her father had put her in the class, since he still hadn't turned up to any of the monthly family visits since dropping her off on her first day, but she assumed it was strategic. He might have been trying to force her in front of the cameras, and anyone could have guessed that one alpha in particular would be taking this class, which guaranteed coverage of it. Speak of the devil.
Professor!
An arm shot up to question Vega before she gave out assignments for the day, a folded sleeve falling down to reveal hard, streamlined muscles. Everyone fell silent.
Can we separate into pairs today?
Kian Ashford didn't need a reason. He didn't even need to ask, really. It would have been ridiculous that an alpha was taking such a stupid class, except that everyone knew his ability was divination. So instead, it was just borderline illegal. Still, there was only so far Ashford could hone his skills by shuffling the same dozen tarot decks and flicking the individual cards into people's chests, hitting them with truth bombs. Mostly, Isabel assumed they kept him in the class because the viewers found his antics entertaining.
Of course,
Vega exclaimed, clapping her hands together.
A wonderful idea. You should all have memorized the meanings of the cards by now.
They hadn't.
So please go ahead and find a partner and do an expanded reading on each other.
Isabel sighed, picking up her desk as everyone else did, moving it from the group cluster it had been in. Not that anyone had been sitting with her. She found a private corner of the room and began shuffling one of the decks, surprised when her phone vibrated again. Theodore.
But actually, yes. Teach me how to swim.
Theodore.
I meant to say please in there somewhere.
Isabel snorted, despite herself.
Boyfriend?
A voice asked as a desk was dropped opposite hers, a tall body falling into a seat behind it. Confused, she looked up. Kian Ashford had a dark brow arched, his eyes flicking between the phone she was trying to hide and her face.
Is that your boyfriend?
He pressed.
I can ask the cards if he loves you.
Isabel cast a quick glance past him, taking in the rest of the class, who were all staring and not even trying to be subtle about it.
No.
She slid her phone away, twisting her fingers together in her lap. She really wanted to ask, what do you think you're doing? But instead, she managed to say, I don't think you want to be my partner. I'm really bad at this.
Ah.
He clucked his tongue.
But I've done a reading for everyone else in the class. You want to be left out?
She felt a pinch of something from him, something like annoyance. Thankfully, she was used to having an alpha around, so she wasn't thrown off by the increased strength of their emotions. But she wasn't exactly used to having so many of them around. The other ranks couldn't slip their negative emotions past her barrier unless she consciously chose to open herself to them. But the alphas were stronger, and she always felt their heavy emotions knocking up against her walls. Ashford lazed back in his chair, waiting for her response, his lips in a neutral position despite the emotion that she had felt from him.
Okay.
She slid the deck across to him. Whatever you want.
He didn't deal the cards straight away, choosing instead to remain leaning back, his head tilted to the side. He didn't look her age, but it was always hard to tell with alphas. Still, he could have easily passed for someone older. He was taller than Theodore, his dark blonde hair just long enough that he could have secured it behind his head, but he left it loose, constantly tucking it behind his ears with tattooed hands. He wasn't the only 18-year-old in the entire academy with tattoos, but they were too random to be, well, random. There were 10 of them, and they were small, the subtle symbols decorating space just above his knuckles. They were all in the same style, thinly drawn and minimalist. She spotted a sun, a skull, a wave, a lightning bolt, a sprouting plant, a mask, a set of wings, an hourglass, a crescent moon, and some sort of harp-like instrument. That one was on the pinky of his hand turned slightly away from her, so it was difficult to make out. Isabel tried not to stare at him, but it was difficult. He was very handsome. She had seen all the posts about Ashford, clicked on all the freeze-framed images of his face, with eyes a stunning aquamarine so clear they hardly seemed real, golden skin and pretty pink lips that were almost always drawing the eye. He was doing it right now, his white teeth peeking out to catch his lower lip, giving her a look like he was trying to figure her out as he absently shuffled the cards. He could have passed as one of the fifth years getting ready to graduate. "Are you checking me out, Sigma?" he asked, lowering his voice to a soft purr. His voice was almost an ability in itself, but not in the way of alpha voice. This was different. His timbre had reached right into her throat, tickling its way down her stomach until it had something low in her belly in its fist. And then it squeezed. "I don't think I've ever done that," Isabel whispered. "To anyone." Suddenly, he smacked the deck down, making her jump. He picked up the top card, covering it before she, or anyone peeking over his shoulder at them, could catch sight of it.
"Just as I suspected," he drawled, slipping the card into his pocket. "It says to keep your distance, Sigma. Stay in your lane. You understand?"
"I understand you're a bit of a dick." He smiled after that, the slightly crooked grin that made her classmates swoon. Isabel frowned, reaching for the deck and going through the motions of her own reading, which he sat for patiently, though the look in his eyes wasn't quite friendly, and that annoyed thump of his emotions against her only increased. When it was time to go, he lifted gracefully from his chair, stretching his arms above his head, making his shirt lift enough to have one of the girls smacking into a desk when she got distracted by the few inches of tight golden skin on display between the raised hem of his shirt and the waistband of his pants.
"Remember what I said."
Ashford leveled a finger at her before smoothly dropping his arm over the clumsy girl and lowering his head to whisper something teasing into her ear. She giggled, her ears turning red as he steered her from the room. He didn't have the confidence of an 18-year-old either. Isabel waited until everyone had left before she gathered the deck again, comparing the remaining cards to the guide Vega had handed them, until she narrowed down the one Ashford had taken with him. The Chariot. She traced the description of the card in Vega's guide, her mouth pitching further and further into a frown. "Should you prepare for an adventure or a battle? The figure in the chariot sits beneath a celestial canopy, carrying a crescent moon on their shoulder. They're guided by their own intuition, which can serve them well. There's a crown on their head, showing that they're both enlightened and pure of will. The earth element on their chest grounding them and their actions. But the figure is only a passenger, and they could be pulled in many different directions. Note that there is a sphinx of light pulling their carriage, but also a sphinx of darkness." Isabel stood up, shaking her head. The entire card reading had just been made-up drama for the cameras. It seemed some of the alphas were here to win after all. Chapter 3. Split Cherries. She didn't text Theodore for the rest of the day. She tried to make herself invisible as she endured the rest of her classes and the two solo practice sessions she had booked that afternoon, one in a piano room, the other in a dance practice room. She had learned that if she booked them herself, whichever of her parents was booking them for her would stop. Unless she tried to take an afternoon off, and then there would be double the practice time the next day. After dance practice, she dragged herself through a quick shower and changed into comfortable tights and a sweatshirt, leaving her hair loose to dry. She slipped into the dining hall to make a quick sandwich, having missed the dinner service, and then she sequestered herself into her corner of the library. Only then did she bring out her phone again. She was behind a wall of books that she had carried up from the lower level, most of which she had already scoured for information. She didn't find anything because she didn't actually know what she was looking for. The alphas she had encountered at Ironside weren't like what she expected. They acted nothing like her father, and that confused her thoroughly. She had come across a few interesting texts, which she hoped to explore further, but mostly, it seemed that the subjects covered within the shelves were focused on arts and culture, and the history of the great people who shaped many of the cultural industries around the world. Most of the books on the gifted people that she had managed to hunt down were actually on the top level of the library, stacked without categorization on the dusty, forgotten shelves. After procrastinating for so long that her eyes began to droop, she finally shook herself awake and replied to Theodore's message. Isabel. Okay, I'll teach you. When? His reply came quickly. Theodore, what are you doing right now? Isabel. Studying? He didn't respond after that, so she set her phone aside, dragging one of the books back into her lap. It mostly covered the alpha growth cycle, but it was still interesting to read. Having grown up watching Ironside, she had always been fascinated by how she could never correctly guess the ages of the alphas. She was shocked when Theodore's face popped over the top of her cubicle, causing her to drop her book with a heavy thud. She managed to jerk her foot away just in time. "How about now?" he asked, those wide, stormy eyes peering down at her as he ducked to retrieve the book, placing it on her desk. "Oh, okay." She quickly gathered her things, acting more on instinct than anything. "Are you sure? It's late." "The fitness center doesn't close," he told her, like she didn't already know. He reached for her bag, wiggling his fingers at her until she hesitantly handed it over. He immediately slung it over his shoulder, striding for the stairs. His walk was long-limbed and leisurely, a vision of strong, confident lines and light, airy movement. It was oddly graceful, but she couldn't put her finger on exactly how or why. "That's not really what I meant." She frowned, quickly tucking the books she had sourced up along the back of the desk before following him. "I mean, are you sure you want to be seen with me?" He cast her a sideways look, the happy curve to his mouth falling away. "Because you're a Sigma?" She nodded, and he stopped suddenly, his arm blocking her path, his hand curving around the stair railing. "Do you even know what your kind are capable of?" he asked, his voice almost a whisper. Isabel flicked her attention to the bottom of the stairwell, where a camera waited to catch them. He had stopped her progress just before they would be seen. He was so close to her, but he seemed miles away from the boy she had found in her first year, huddled up and black-eyed, tears flowing freely. He was bigger, more confident, his stormy gray eyes clear and focused. He had lovely eyelashes, as coal-black as his hair, which was wavy and messy, the style young and fashionable, the sides so short they were almost shaved, the strands longer on top, mostly falling messily around his face. He had a very angular face, eyes that tilted up at the sides, and a few little scars that she could see, little nicks spread over his skin. His lips were on the thin side, light pink, hiding the most perfect smile she had
ever seen. She was fairly sure he even had dimples, but she couldn't stop staring at his perfectly straight teeth whenever he smiled, so she wasn't sure. "We can help people," she allowed, matching his quiet tone. "We can take away their bad emotions and feelings." He waited, and when she didn't say any more, he sighed, backing off.
"You don't think that's valuable?"
he questioned as they continued down the stairs.
"You don't think that's worth as much as a beta like Bellamy who can talk inside people's heads?"
"He wouldn't like the comparison," she answered. Theodore didn't respond immediately because there were still some people lingering inside the lower levels of the library. They passed two Delta girls in the stairwell, and the frenzied whispering shadowed them all the way to the ground floor.
"What's your ability?" Isabel asked boldly as soon as they stepped foot outside.
She wanted to take the question back immediately. Ferality was an ability, and alphas could only ever have one ability outside of their generic alpha talents.
"I only have the alpha voice."
He didn't even skip a beat.
"And the alpha senses."
He shot her a grin.
"We can't all be lucky."
"Even that is impressive,"
she said quietly, still kicking herself internally.
"Betas are very proud when one of their abilities is like an alpha sense. The improved hearing or the sense of smell or taste or sight. You have all of them. Plus, you're bigger, stronger."
"Ah, stop it,"
he grinned, his cheeks growing a little red. She stared at him as they walked, utterly fascinated. The alpha was shy and kind of cute the way he widened his eyes all innocently. He was making her think that she really didn't know anything at all, except that betas, deltas, and omegas she had interacted with so far had all been quite predictable. Maybe he was different.
"Do you think most alphas are like you?" she asked.
"I didn't spend much time in the settlements, so..." He bit back his answer as they passed a group of students by the lake. They all stopped their chattering and immediately turned to stare. One of them even whispered, "Who the hell is that? Did anyone see her eyes? Was she a beta? Did anyone recognize her?" When the path was clear again, he spoke up.
"I think all alphas are different, just like all the other ranks are different. I bet there are some bossy sigmas tucked away somewhere."
Isabel giggled, and his whole face lit up. But he quickly ducked it down, his dark hair slipping forward to shield his eyes.
"I've only met one other sigma in person," she said. "My mother."
And then she quickly changed the subject, glancing up at the nearest camera and deciding her family wasn't a topic for the Ironside show.
"Which settlement did you come
Here we are,"
he suddenly declared, striding forward to hold open the door to the fitness center for her. She had no idea if he had intended to dodge the question or if he was just really excited for his swimming lesson, but she decided to let it drop in either case. A fitness center was really more like one of the luxury spas her mother had taken her to in the city. There were exercise rooms, of course, but there were also steam rooms, saunas, plunge pools, and an indoor and outdoor saltwater pool. There was also a connected building for people who wanted to train in dance, acrobatics, or any physical art form that couldn't be classified as offensive. They stopped by the shop first and gave the Omega attendant their sizes for swimwear. She didn't look away from Theodore once, even while Isabel muttered her size.
"I'll be right back,"
the attendant said, touching Theodore's arm. He slid it back from the counter, but she hardly seemed deterred. Alphas were considered a catch in the settlements, but within Ironside, the gifted took it to a whole new level, because if they were a student, then there was a chance they would one day be an icon. That was a guaranteed ticket to a better life, and only one thing could possibly ruin it: a mate bond.
"That must be annoying,"
Isabel whispered lowly. It was maybe a little too low because Theodore had to bend close to hear her. When he realized what she said, he snorted.
"You have no idea."
Want to wait by the bathrooms? She offered. I can bring the swimsuits. His eyes widened, giving him that innocent look again. He was the kind of boy who wore his emotions on his face for everyone to read. That didn't seem like a very good attribute for an alpha. At least, not with how her father lectured her on how alphas were required to act. Actually, yeah. He smiled, and she forgot all about how he should and shouldn't be acting, because his smile was seriously beautiful. It was actually one of the best smiles she had ever seen, and that included her mother's. Her mother always tried to smile with kindness, but no amount of empathy could hide a pain as long-standing as hers. Theodore seemed less tainted. His smiles were pure, and purity was such a rare thing in their world. It made her itch to know who his family was. Who had raised and protected this boy so well?
Isabel?
He touched her arm. Are you sure?
Sorry. She laughed awkwardly. Yes, I'm sure. I'll meet you there.
He smiled at her gratefully and then disappeared with only a few seconds to spare as the Omega attendant returned. She placed two folded towels and a set of swimsuits on the counter, glancing around like she couldn't even see Isabel standing right there.
Thanks.
Isabel reached for the pile, feeling a little awkward that there was no exchange of money. Everything was free at Ironside. Humiliation included.
Were you here with Kane?
The attendant asked, scratching her head in confusion.
Yep.
Isabel gathered everything into her arms and tried to leave, but the other girl suddenly shot a hand out over the bench, her eyes narrowing on Isabel's face.
It's you,
she said.
It's me,
Isabel answered without inflection.
The Sigma,
the attendant insisted.
The Sigma,
Isabel confirmed calmly.
With Theodore Kane.
He needed someone to teach him how to swim, Isabel offered, hoping the reason would make the whole situation easier for the Omega to swallow. She really wanted her arm back, because the other girl's nails were beginning to dig in.
The Academy offers swimming lessons,
the girl insisted, her nails digging in even further. Growing tired of the conversation, Isabel ripped her arm away. She didn't need to look down to know that the attendant's nails had drawn blood.
Thanks for your help,
she said, hurrying out of the shop. The hallways were misted with steam from the indoor pool, making her squint a little as she stopped outside the bathrooms. Theodore was still, his nostrils flaring as his eyes raked over her. His attention snagged on her arm and stayed, his eyes narrowing.
Here.
She thrust out his swimsuit and towel, pushing it against his chest. He took it wordlessly, still staring at her arm.
You wanted to be friends?
She asked him, trying to ignore the battering of his anger against her walls. He nodded once, short and sharp, the rest of him still eerily frozen.
Then get used to it,
she suggested, brushing past him to enter the female bathrooms. The second she was inside, all the bravado dropped straight out of her, and she set her things down on the counter with shaking hands, twisting her arm to see the scratches. They weren't serious, but they stung enough to be a reminder to her.
Keep your distance, Sigma. Stay in your lane, you understand?
Ashford's voice swam back to her, but it was soon drowned out by a more insistent, familiar voice. That of her father.
A Sigma is not to be seen or heard. They are only to be felt. It is your privilege to be of service to the other gifted ranks. If you cannot even do that, your best hope is that the burden of your existence goes unnoticed.
Carter? Someone stepped into view from the direction of the shower cubicles, their voice soft and concerned. Eve Indy.
Eve! Hi.
Isabel hated that her voice shook, and she quickly busied herself with turning on the taps to run her arm beneath a stream of water.
Were you swimming?
No.
Eve laughed, but she still sounded concerned.
I can't swim. I was at the gym. Are you okay? What happened to your arm?
Nothing.
Isabel smiled, trying to reassure her. When it didn't seem to work, she opened herself up a little, siphoning off the other girl's worry. Eve froze, her dark brows jumping up, her lips parting in surprise.
Wow, so it's true.
She immediately schooled her face, looking embarrassed.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I said that. Of course it's true. I'm not one of those people who thinks that sigmas don't have any power. Me and my parents, we're always telling people it's true, I swear.
Isabel was a little shocked herself.
It's fine. I shouldn't have done it without your permission. I can't help myself sometimes. My mom says I need to hold back more.
Your mom is a sigma too, right?
Yeah.
Isabel pulled her arm from the water, drying it off.
Oh, here.
Eve propped her gym bag onto the counter, rummaging inside for a couple of band-aids, which she handed over.
I'm always getting blisters, she explained. Shoes don't like my feet. It's a fact.
Isabel laughed softly, feeling her smile pull at the sides of her mouth. She had naturally puffy cheeks and a narrow mouth. When she smiled, she always felt it pushing at her cheeks.
Thank you.
You know you can come and talk to me if you need to, right?
Eve asked gently.
I know plenty of places other than the bathrooms where they haven't put cameras. Just saying.
She shrugged lightly before exiting the bathroom, leaving Isabel feeling torn. Could she really have discovered the potential of two real friends all in one day? It seemed impossible. She covered the scratches on her arms and quickly changed into the swimsuit, stepping out of the change stall to check her appearance in the mirror. Someone like her was usually invisible, but anyone who stood next to an alpha was guaranteed to feature in the next episode. She wasn't sure how she felt about the entire world seeing her in a swimsuit, but it wasn't too revealing. A plain black one piece. Still, she wrapped her towel around herself, unsure about the pale line of her legs and the barest swell of cleavage pushed up by the tight suit. She hung her bag inside one of the lockers and walked back out to the hallway. Theodore was already waiting for her, leaning up against the glass wall of the indoor pool, his arms folded over his bare chest. He hadn't huddled himself into a towel as she had, but that wasn't the detail that really struck her. There wasn't a single ounce of fat on his body. Only honeyed skin wrapped tightly over muscle. She could see ridges where his ribs should have been. She could see little muscles under his arms. She could see the beginnings of a defined V leading down to the plain black swim shorts she had given him.
What the hell are they feeding you?
She blurted, blinking at him. He snorted again, but this time it turned into a laugh. Bright and sunny, as beautiful as his smile. He brushed his fingers down his stomach, obviously knowing exactly what she was talking about.
God, he laughed. You should see Sato's abs.
You never will, though. It would break the internet. Which pool are we going to? Isabel dragged her eyes away from his bare torso, her face flaming.
I don't mind,
she muttered to the ground, like she was searching for a hole to crawl into and die.
Are you okay with the cold?
He asked, motioning to the door outside. It's too quiet in here. And less private.
Not at all.
Isabel hurried to lead the way, happy that the cameras outside at least wouldn't be able to hear her humiliating herself, though it would be a pretty safe guess if all the viewers just assumed it was happening anyway. They both approached the steps leading into the pool, and Theodore tossed his towel onto one of the sun loungers that were usually populated by the senior students during the day. He already had the body of a swimmer, which made Isabel clutch her towel even tighter, because she didn't. She was pale and small, but she wasn't skin and bones either. She danced a lot, and she ate a lot. She wasn't chubby, and she wasn't thin. She was just normal. Healthy, maybe. When she finally unwound her towel, throwing it beside Theodore's, she couldn't help but look down and take note of her gentle, subtle curves, so unlike his body. If she had been serious about trying to win the Ironside show, those natural curves would have to go. The female champions were nothing short of perfect, with perfect bodies. Some of them even arranged sick leave from the academy grounds to get surgery done, and nothing was off limits when it came to imperfections. Arms, necks, ears, fingers, ankles, skin pigment. There was no argument that their fans loved them the way they were and would support them no matter what they looked like, because their fans were the ones sponsoring the surgeries through crowdfunding campaigns. She glanced up at Theodore, finding his eyes waiting to catch hers. He had already taken a step into the water and was closer to her height. He was near enough that she could see the way his pupils had expanded, even with the dimmed outdoor lighting. "Your smell gets stronger when you have more uncovered skin," he said lowly. "I can smell cherry wood, crushed leaves, split cherries." Isabel didn't even have a chance to think of a cool reply. She was too busy choking on her own saliva. He laughed at her, holding out a hand to encourage her to step down into the water beside him. "What's first?" he asked, surveying the rippling surface as she quickly placed her hand in his and stepped into the water. The wind was picking up, teasing against the surface of the water and causing the hair on her body to stand on end. Theodore dropped her hand as she stepped further in, shivering at the temperature. "You can come in further," she suggested. "You'll be able to stand just fine." She barely remembered her own swimming lessons, only that her father had insisted on them and that her mother had been terrified, trying to learn alongside her. Theodore stepped down to the base of the pool without an ounce of fear, but he was holding his hands up above the water for some reason, like he was ready to grab onto the side of the pool if something happened. She was glad he had reached for her hand earlier, because it made offering hers to him a little easier. "Have you tried to swim at all?" she asked. He slapped his hand into hers, and she pulled it down, dipping it beneath the water, moving just a few steps further in, drawing him behind her. "My first day," he admitted, biting back a smile. "It was the first thing I wanted to do. I walked through the water just like this, but I didn't know what to do when it got to my neck." His smile escaped, his hand twitching in hers. "I Googled it, obviously, but I didn't want to look like a fucking idiot in front of the cameras." She was pretty sure the cameras couldn't hear what they were saying, but he didn't even try to lower his voice. She couldn't help but wonder what it must be like to have that much unfailing confidence. "Hey." He tugged on her hand, and she stopped moving deeper into the water, turning to glance at him. "Sorry about before. The whole scenting you thing. I can't help it sometimes." She cracked a grin. "It was weird, not gonna lie." He groaned, looking up at the sky. "It's just that, well, you know, everyone has a scent signature, but most of them are harsh and they hurt my nose. Yours can be a little bitter. I smelled bitter cherries when you came to give me my swimsuit, but most of the time, it's sweet. It's a nice break from everyone else." She felt her grin collapsing, melting into a frown. "Yeah, I know. My father..." She dropped her tone, unable to help the instinctual whisper that took hold of her words. "He has a sensitive nose. He doesn't like when I'm upset. He says it smells sour." "Maybe a little sour," Theodore agreed thoughtfully, though he was wearing a frown to match her own. "But still edible." Almost as soon as he said it, he seemed to regret it, his hand going stiff in hers. His face struck emotionless for a moment, until it melted into another of his easy smiles.
I meant because you still smell like food, just more like sour food.
Thanks, she managed, taking on the embarrassment he had managed to shed.
Do you want to try and float now? Can I do it without looking like a cat trying not to drown? He asked with a sigh. I've seen all the videos of people trying to swim when they get here. I might have grown up with other alphas, so you'd think I'd be used to being shown up. But actually, I have a hard time not being amazing at things on my first try.
A snort escaped her lips before she could stop it, and he quirked a dark brow at her, though there was still a smile hovering around his mouth.
Sorry, she tried to contain the laugh. That must be hard for you.
Let's make a deal. His eyes narrowed on hers, his tone suddenly serious. You don't apologize to me unless you've lied to me, okay?
Why would I lie to you?
Self-preservation? He shrugged. I'm not an idiot. I know how this world works. But I also meant what I said this morning. I want to be friends.
Sigmas aren't friends with alphas, her mother had told her once after she asked why her father seemed to hate her. Sigmas only ever mate with alphas, and even then, it's rare.
Why do you want to be friends? She asked, dropping his hand now that the seriousness of his voice had wrapped around her. The night seemed to grow colder, her skin peppered with goose flesh, her teeth gritted against the chill. He considered her, his head tipping a little to the side, his dark gray eyes shifting into a stormy haze, like ominous clouds rolling over an overcast skyline. It gave him a strangely menacing presence. No matter how hard she focused on his perfect lips, imagining the way his smile tended to stretch wide and innocent.
Honestly, his voice was low. I don't know if it's you or your ability, but I'm jealous. I figure there's something I can learn from you, and maybe there's something you can learn from me, too.
Like what?
She shivered, glancing toward the immaculate towering hedges that ringed the pool area. She was a little disappointed, but of course this beautiful boy wanted something from her. Of course there was a reason.
How to stand up for yourself, for starters.
He stepped forward, his expression analytical, like he was observing her the way a scientist might observe an animal they were experimenting on.
Like right now. Why don't you say what you really want to say?
She considered brushing past him and climbing out of the pool, running back to the dorm, deleting his number, finishing up her stint at Ironside as barely more than a clerical error on the enrollment records.
Come on.
His hand brushed against her thigh under the water. She wasn't sure if it was accidental or not. His face had become unreadable, those stormy eyes boring into hers.
I don't want to stand up for myself, she blurted, the words expelled from her chest on a shaky exhale. I know my place.
And where is your place? He asked immediately. Below us all? A Sigma slave? A sponge for all the shitty things we think and feel?
Yes.
Her smile was tight.
Exactly.
That's fucked up, Izzy.
I hate that name.
He grinned, his eyes flashing.
Good. What else do you hate?
Shouting.
And?
He was creeping closer, his eyes on her mouth, his touch hovering over her thigh again. With anyone else, it might have been sexual or intimidating. With Theodore, it was magnetizing. He was a perfect alpha specimen. Tall, dark, ripped, and handsome. A smile to block out the sun and sky. A power so vast and terrifying it was quite literally classified as a national threat. And he was channeling all that power and magnetism at her. Surrounding her with it, giving her his undivided attention and allowing his presence to draw out the exact words and reactions from her he wanted, without needing to explain why he wanted them. "Alphas," she whispered.
"Ah."
His smile broke free.
"And?"
"Betas," she continued. "And deltas and omegas. And humans." The last word was barely more than a breath, but he was staring at her lips so hard he definitely would have known what she had said.
"And,"
he whispered,
"myself."
She was shocked at the word that escaped, her eyes widening on his.
"And there it is,"
he breathed out quietly.
"That's